Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
We're not gracious, then we'll always turn away from people, be turned off by people. They're not perfect. So it's normal for, it's natural, it's the flesh to get into a relationship with someone. And then after the flaws are revealed, to go somewhere else. But God teaches us to commit. He says, look, I want you to commit to what I have. And the people around and their imperfections and all that shouldn't be why you're in and out. I know they got leadership books that say, you know, follow a person. That's true. But as Christians, we follow Christ. And it's almost despite the people or the person sometimes.
Relationships can be both exciting and complicated. They can be exhilarating and then difficult. As you listen to today's teaching with Pastor Troy, you'll learn that God teaches you to commit. No matter how difficult or complicated a relationship may be, you're called to extend grace. You're called to love the people around you just as Jesus loves you. It won't always be easy, but keep leaning into Jesus. And remember, just as you extend grace to those around you, they too extend grace to you. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 5 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're not judged for our sin, which would condemn us and cause us to go to hell. We'll stand and receive reward or no reward for the way we served the Lord, whether we did it at all, whether we served Him faithfully, if we did it with all of our heart, if we did it to be seen, or if we did it for selfish reasons, selfish motivation. All of these things will be brought to light. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 13 through 15. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved as through fire. So who is this talking to? This is talking to the saved, because that person will still be saved. But he'll, this is where the Christian gets the term, but he'll come up smoking, you know, as if by fire. Like, you did great. Oh, awesome. Here's your rewards. Hey, you did awesome. Here's your rewards. You, whew. Smoking section, huh? Not much, huh? No, not so much. The stuff I did for me. Gain for me. Yeah, I served so I could have these accolades. I wanted to be promoted and do all this stuff. So I thought some of those titles in the church would be pretty good reference material. So I kind of gave you for selfish motivations, Lord. So believers won't be judged to determine our salvation, but we will be evaluated. As a Christian, when you die, you will go to heaven. But please listen. If you're a note taker, this is noteworthy. God, if he has you here until that day you die and you go to be with him in heaven. And as long as he has you here, God has stuff he wants you to do. There's works, there's faithfulness, there's the stuff he wants you to do to be faithful in. He wants you to have the right heart in it. He wants you to be all in. He wants you to not grumble and complain through it. And so I want to encourage you to find out what it is. And do it. For some of you, maybe it's foster children. For some of you, maybe it is raising your own children. You know, some of us like to be all around out there when we got kids and we're not raising our kids. And so raising your children. For some of you, it could be ministering to battered women or something like that. This is your heart. This is maybe your experience that you've come through. For others of you, and maybe all of you, it could be getting involved in your local church and serving the body there faithfully. Whatever it is, seek the Lord and be all in. Serve Him. The key is to seek Him and then obey Him, because our rewards and our life are all to be wrapped up in that, not in the things of the earth. So there is a time where we will be evaluated. You know, C.T. Studd said, "Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." I had to look that up. I thought it was Chuck Smith who originated that because he always said it, but it's Mr. C.T. Studd. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, I believe, is where C.T. Studd got the idea. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. We tend to have an affection for something we place high value on. If I'm married, and I am, my heart should be for my wife because I should value her and treasure her. But if my value system's out of whack and what I value and treasure are, and no one can be more beautiful than my wife, this is just an example. But let's just say my treasure, my value is in youthfulness, younger, they can run the mile, you know, those kind of things still. And so my wife's value, it goes down. My heart's not there. My heart's over here. No, fine. I don't want to point to anyone in particular. It might feel weird, but to point out there. My heart's out there, over there. And so all of a sudden, my heart goes over to where I place my value. I have put my value on this thing, and now my heart goes over to this thing. So you see, we always talk about being led by our heart. Jesus says, do not do it. He says, set your mind on things above. Let your renewed mind control your emotions and your heart. They will lead you astray. So what you do is you read the scriptures and you find out what God values. What does God value in my house? Oh, that relationship with my wife? Then I better value that. I better put that first. Oh, my children, oh, the church, the body of Christ, before I go feeding all of the others in the world. What do I do with my money? All of this. We find out what God values and what God says, and then we put our heart toward it. We put our heart into it, because our heart will follow. There just has to be engagement. Our hearts will become affectionate for anything. I mean, I had a chihuahua. I never wanted a chihuahua. I don't want another one, by the way. Don't give me another one. But having our chihuahua, I grew to love him. It's my chihuahua. And it looked like a little Labrador retriever, miniature. It's a good chihuahua. Wasn't a yapper. Taught him not to bark for the most part. My son barked more than he did. My son was really young, and one day he was outside, and, you know, his best friend was Mickey, our chihuahua at the time. And so Mickey, I guess, was inside while our son was outside. And my son was on his all fours barking at our neighbor. and I walked outside, and Mr. Lee's over there. And Mr. Lee goes, "Your son's barking at me." I said, "Yeah, I see that. I'm out here to take care of that right now." Joshua, come on. He goes outside. No. Well trained. That was a rabbit trail. So we'll get back on this. So we're not to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth, but in heaven, because where we place our value, our heart follows. Think about it. Whatever you start to admire and appreciate, we start to gravitate toward. So our heart goes toward it. And, you know, this is a little inside information for families and people who are close to one another. Usually people we know, we meet, they start off up here most of the time. Then we get to know them. And you know what happens, right? Exactly. Like, oh, they got flaws. Whoa, they've got a lot of flaws, man. The more I get to know them, Wow, I didn't know. And so people can only be really brought down normally. And if we're not gracious, then we'll always turn away from people, be turned off by people. They're not perfect. So it's normal for, it's natural, it's the flesh to get into a relationship with someone. And then after the flaws are revealed, and to go somewhere else. But God teaches us to commit. He says, look, I want you to commit to what I have. And the people around and their imperfections and all that shouldn't be why you're in and out. I know they got leadership books that say, you know, you follow a person, follow a person, follow a person. That's true. But as Christians, we follow Christ. And it's almost despite the people or the person sometimes. I remember staying involved in ministry one time because I felt like God said to. And I didn't want to. And I didn't want to support the leader or the leadership. But God put a burden in my heart, because I had a responsibility to certain ministry, to certain things. So I learned that it's not about the people. I wasn't committed to a man. I was committed to the Lord. And that's what kept me where I was at. So as Christians, we live on a higher plane. We're able to see that way. We're able to look that way and follow that way. That's the Christian. We'll be evaluated by our works, the decisions, the motivations, what we did, why we did them. That'll be checked out and evaluated. Now, the other side of that coin is the unbeliever. We don't have to go in depth for them. What happens is very simple. They're born physically, but they're dead spiritually. And they basically just go through life and they can do nothing to please God. There's no rewards. There's no nothing. They're just dead. They just go through this life. They accomplish some things. They accomplish some trophies. They get some money. And they do all that stuff. But basically, they're dead. And then they die physically, only to die the eternal death. So not much to say. They stand before the Lord and give an account of why they did not respond to the gospel. That's it. So everyone will be evaluated. Look at verse 28. Do not marvel at this, Jesus says, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Now, this is not saying that if you do enough good, you're raised to life. If you do enough bad, you go to death. This is about him, Jesus. He's dealing with this group. He's saying, be careful. The hour's coming, and there's coming a day when there will be a division. So be very careful what you do with me.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message. So be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. And here's the third thing we want to consider that everyone goes through, everyone experiences, and that is everyone rises. Everyone will be resurrected, will live again. See, death is not the end. There will be two separate resurrections of the dead. The resurrection of life for the believer and the resurrection of condemnation for the unbeliever, the non-believer. The resurrection of the believer is in two phases, or actually three phases if you count Jesus' resurrection. So Jesus was raised and he was transformed, and then he ascended to be with the Father. One phase is the rapture of the resurrection of those who will be alive, those who are alive. The rapture. At the rapture, we will be transformed, and we will have our new bodies, and we'll be glorified, and we'll forever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17 tell us, this is the church, by the way, this is the church. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So there's a time coming when there'll be the rapture, and those who die, Christians who die, believing in the Lord, they go right away to be with the Lord. Their spirit does, but their body is still here. We know, we see it because we can look at their caskets and you can dig them up now and they're still there. Their flesh is deteriorated and everything, but they're still here. So there has not been that resurrection of the body transformation so that they are clothed with that final body. Their spirit's with the Lord, their body's here. We who are alive, we will be caught up and transformed all in one. So our spirit won't go up there and then our bodies come and meet us and be transformed. So those who've gone away, God's kind of temporarily clothed them with something. I don't know what it is, but they're up there with him now while their body is still here. But God's going to call that body and it's going to go right before us. Now, all this is in the twinkling of an eye, but they will be transformed already up there because they're there. And we will not precede them. They preceded us. Then we will be transformed, caught up. All this in the twinkling of an eye in a moment. And we'll all forever be with the Lord. That's the church. But there's a second phase of this resurrection, and that's at Jesus' return. He doesn't come all the way when he calls us to himself. He kind of comes out, peeks out and says, come on, trumpet of God. And then we're raptured, transformed. That's the resurrection, part of the first phase. The second part of the first resurrection is the return. And that will be the tribulation saints. There's some who will go through the tribulation. They'll give their life. They'll commit themselves to the Lord. They'll end up dying for their faith. And they'll be transformed at the end of that seven-year period. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 6, and I saw thrones and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again, those are the unsaved, until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So that's the end, the second or third phase of the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. They shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So that group goes into the millennial period. So we who are already up there now through those 7 years, we return. We're already resurrected, glorified. We're with Jesus who comes back, transforms them, and all of us together, the millennial saints, the Christians, the church, are joined together, and the Old Testament saints. Now, the Old Testament saints, there's some discussion about where they are actually resurrected. Some will say at the very end because they're not raptured with the church. They're not taken up with the church. So they're not there for that second section. But that third section, they think, okay, because the church is a different period of time. God's dealing with Israel, and then he starts dealing with the church, and then the tribulation period, he starts to deal with Israel again. And so they think, well, maybe it's at that time. It's possible that all the dead are raised at that moment. Some believe that, buy into that. Others believe that it was back when Jesus resurrected. That would be the first one, because there were those bodies. Remember, people rose up, and they were walking, and people were like, oh, we see some of the Old Testament saints. So I don't know. I'm just explaining and filling your head with a bunch of stuff that doesn't change when we're going to be resurrected. But it's the Bible, and when you read across these things, I don't want you to be confused, thinking they're all the same resurrection. There are phases to ours. Ours is complicated. We're complicated people. And so there are phases for the church. Not so for the unbeliever. Just one, and it's at the very, very end. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, we read this. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. They don't want to be around him. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So there's that last calling up of everyone. You know, there are some who they want, you know, a coffin, and they want everything in their coffin so they can make sure that Jesus gets all of them, you know, at the end. I don't want him to miss any part of me. I don't want him cutting anything off or anything like that, taking anything out of my body, you know. And so they're worried that the Lord might not be able to call them all back together if they don't have everything. And people will swim and a shark will take off an arm and they wonder, am I just going to go into heaven armless, you know, all this stuff. But according to this, when the Lord calls us back together, we're going to be back together. They call from every spot and every place, and we will be together. So you don't have to worry about, you know, trying to be a little cheaper on your funeral and, you know, letting them send you through the furnace or something, you know. You don't have to worry about all of that stuff. It's not bad. It's not anti the Lord. It's not making his work any harder. It's not about what happens to your body after death. It's about what happens to you during your life. That's what matters. And that's what we need to focus on. See, the hour is coming, and we only have so much time to live our life. Will we live it for his glory? Will we live it in a way that we honor him? Because there's an evaluation for all. So everyone dies, can't escape it. We don't like to talk about it, but it's real. It's there. It's part of life. Everyone is evaluated. We need to consider that, guys. And everyone rises. We'll all stand before the Lord one day. So death is not the end. Everyone born lives forever. In fact, you could say everyone who's born will have eternal life. But where? What kind of life? What quality of life? The default is hell. You don't come into this life and go, well, I'm just going to live good, pass through, not hurt anyone, do the right things. And, you know, God, when he weighs my works, he can't send me to hell. No, the problem is you're already born going to hell. Something has to happen so that you don't go to hell. You're already going to hell. What is that? It's called being born again. Without being born again, you can't see things. You're like the song Amazing Grace, but without the I once was blind, now I see. You're still blind. You don't see. You don't get it. You don't see it clearly, and you never will. It's not something that can be explained. If you want head knowledge and education to bring you to that place, you will die in your sins seeking the God of knowledge. This is by faith. We trust in him by faith. So, you must be born again. The time is coming when the chance to be born again will be over, and you don't know how long you have. Now, some might think right now that this is a good tactic to put you in that place where you're a little nervous, so you better respond. But that's not my agenda. My agenda is no different than a person who would tell someone who's driving, there's a cliff over there. Will that scare them? Well, it's scary to hear there's a cliff there. But it's also the truth. To not share that would be my bad. Be wrong and sin, I think, on my part. But this must be shared. People need to know that it's more than just choosing a good life. I don't want that. Okay, well, let me tell you what you have then. Because if you don't have that, this is what you have. Don't think there's neutral ground. There is no such ground. But here's the good news. If you're listening at all to me, you're alive. And that means you can be saved. Today, this is the day of salvation. All you do is listen. If the voice of the Lord is speaking to your heart, believe in me, follow me, trust me. If he's speaking to your heart, all you got to do is respond to him.
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned some new things today as Pastor Troy taught through the Gospel of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Next time, Pastor Troy will share more from the Gospel of John and express additional examples of how Jesus proved he was unlike any other man that has ever lived. Join us then, right here, on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in.